It's time for the Your Personal Bank Show with Farron Stoth. In an era of chaos, confusion, and craziness, Farron is a voice for common sense. As a financial literacy educator, speaker, and entrepreneur, Farron cuts through the noise to help us understand how current events affect our money, economy, and our freedom. Now, here's Farron Stoth.
Welcome to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Farron. If you want to reach me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. Yes, you will reach me. Again, it's yourpersonalbank.com. Of course, if you reach me now, it'll be after the holidays because I'm enjoying some time off with my family, as I hope you are too. And I do, first of all, want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, all of that. I just wish you the best time possible. This is a time of the year that I often like to reflect, look back on the past year, start to think about next year with plans, goals, that type of thing, but mostly just recharge my batteries, enjoy the time with loved ones, and I hope you do so too. I think recharging the batteries right now is probably more valid or more beneficial for most people than in previous years, because there's certainly no doubt many of us have gone through a very challenging year. These last couple, 3 years have been a challenge economically, politically, emotionally, and I'd love to say the war is won. Now, the battle has been won in terms of the most recent political battle, but there's going to be more going forward. There's going to be some volatility, some challenges as we go forward. Very, very important for us to enjoy this time and recharge our batteries so that we can face those challenges, face those battles head on going forward, as I believe in general the country will be starting to head in a better direction. There's a lot of big problems, the debt, for example, that will need to be addressed, won't be resolved overnight. You don't pay $36 trillion of debt overnight. But I don't want to focus on a lot of those things today. I want to do something that I probably have never done since I started airing the Your Personal Bank Show on the radio 5 or 6 years ago. And that is, I want to tell my story. And I'm doing this for several reasons. One, for those of you that do listen to this show, and I really, really do appreciate you. I get feedback, mostly positive feedback, regularly, and I thank you very much for that. I also get ideas from many listeners in terms of what to discuss and talk about, but mostly I just discuss what I'm dealing with on a regular weekly basis, use some experience, some common sense, and just try to share from my heart what I believe is important at this point in time. And if I tell my story, I get asked this quite often, you know, where did you come up with that? How did you come up with that? Well, I think by telling my story, it'll probably help you understand a little bit more where I come from, why I think the way I do. It'll just help you understand things perhaps a little better. And lastly, the station managers consistently tell me, share more personal things about yourself. I'm not the best at doing that. I don't particularly like talking about myself that much. I do share stories and whatnot with people, of course. To me, that's fun. I enjoy meeting people. And I'm in a business where I listen. I listen to people's situations, their challenges, their goals. What do they want to accomplish? So listening is a key skill. And problem solving, trying to help find them a better financial solution to accomplish their goals. So sharing my story is not normally top of mind or the primary focus, if you know what I'm trying to say. So again, if this isn't something that's your cup of tea, I understand. I'll encourage you to stay tuned next week. I'll be discussing my first of the year annual goal setting session and some thoughts about what to expect for 2025. But for those of you that want to learn a little bit more about myself, I'm going to encourage you to stay tuned. I think you'll find it quite interesting. And I think the first thing I really need to share is an experience in my early life that really has shaped me and affected my life even to this day. And that is, when I was young, I grew up in an upper middle class family. My dad was an engineer. I've often shared on the show, my name, Farron Stoth, is a very common Hungarian name. I'm the oldest son, so I got dad's name. And my dad had quite an incredible story himself, escaping Hungary in 1956 from the Soviets. He wanted to go to college. They did not allow that. They forced him to join the Hungarian army against his will. That's what communism is about, folks. And then in 1956, while my dad was a young man, there was the first uprising that occurred behind the Iron Curtain. The Hungarians actually kicked the communists, the Soviets, out and took over parliament, control of their country. They had elections. They had control for about 3 months. And then the Soviets cracked down. They rolled the tanks. Any male who was of fighting age was faced with a very stark decision. If you stayed, you likely would be either killed or rounded up and sent to the gulag or escape. Millions of Hungarians escaped at that time for obvious reasons, my dad included. He crossed the country at night, slept in barns, various things like that, literally risked his life to get out. He eventually ended up in the United States, went to college, which is where he met my mom. And I'm half Hungarian. I was born here. My dad did it the right way. He was a political refugee. And so it might help you understand why I'm so strongly against illegal immigration, which I think you'll find a very common thread with nearly every legal immigrant or first generation. It's inherently unfair for someone who is a political refugee, genuinely, like my dad was, who had to go through the process and did so proudly, became a U.S. citizen. He was always very proud of that. It's very unfair for someone to just jump the line and just come in, not have to go through the process, not get vetted, and then just get primarily taken care of by the U.S. taxpayers with food and clothing and housing and such. My dad never asked for anything. He just wanted an opportunity. He just wanted to live his life in peace. And like most refugees and first-generation Americans, he was very proud of becoming a U.S. citizen. He was very proud of his country, very patriotic. Because he's very thankful because this country gave him another chance. And that's part of the reason why I later joined the military. I'm jumping ahead a bit, but it was from that upbringing and that thankfulness that what this country had provided for my dad, which obviously I'm here as a result of that. I wanted to give back in some way, and me joining the military was one way of me doing that. But the event in my young life that really impacted me the most, and still does to some extent, is when I was 7 years old, my dad tragically died in a drowning accident. It was very unexpected. He was in very good shape. He was about 35 at the time. He had played semi-professional soccer in Hungary as a young man. He had been a college competition swimmer. And even at age 35, he was a soccer referee. So this was a person that was quite healthy and in good shape. For him to be a former swimmer and to drown in a lake, of all things, even to this day, the medical people, the divers finally did find him. They still couldn't explain the reason why it happened or how it happened. It's still a mystery to this day. But what I can say to you from a personal standpoint is it was a sucker punch unlike anything I ever felt in my lifetime. And those of you that have lost a close loved one, a parent while you were young or a child even, a partner, a lifelong partner, those are the only people that can really kind of understand the sense of loss. And it deeply affected me for many years of my life. I could say significantly with my relationships and dating and such like that growing up. But it also gave me a sense of not wanting to live with regrets. Very distinctly understood that tomorrow is not guaranteed. My dad died at age 35. I'm certain there are things he intended that he still wanted to do with his life, even though he had lived a full life already through escaping the Soviets and coming to America and becoming a citizen and becoming an engineer and getting married and having children. Yet I'm sure there was a lot of things on his list of things he fully expected and wanted to still do. Because of that experience, I realized that tomorrow is not guaranteed or promised, that if there was something that came up that interested me or I wanted to do, and I had the opportunity to do so, I wasn't going to put it off to tomorrow. And I think that's part of the reason why I've always been so curious, inquisitive, interested in learning new things, whether it be new careers. I love learning about technology and enjoy traveling. I really enjoy history, learning from the past and learning financial stuff. Again, things that I didn't know much. If I didn't know much about it, it was something I wanted to learn. So I grew up constantly learning, read lots of books, crazy amount of books, and wasn't afraid to try new things, whether it be sports or activities or whatever that may be. And I found out I was actually a pretty decent athlete, particularly at soccer, much like my dad. Was also a pretty decent musician. I made All-State playing that trombone in high school and later college and everything else. So those were some of the early experiences that I had that formed me and shaped me into the person that I am today. It also, this took me a long time to learn, but it gave me a resilience that you could overcome just about anything, far more than maybe sometimes you even realize early in life. And even though it may be really, really tough, it can be overcome. I'm going to encourage you to stay tuned in the next segments. So I'm going to share some more of my life later as I grew up and then why I got into the financial world and then even the radio that you're listening. But I hope you find this interesting during this holiday season. And I'll share more with you in the next segment, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Common Sense from Ferentz. For more information, contact Ferentz at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422.
This is Ferentz, host of Your Personal Bank Show. My show focuses on creating tax-free buckets of money, insured, guaranteed, highly liquid, and the ability to create positive arbitrage. Did you know this is the best time in over 40 years to invest in index annuities? An index annuity allows you to, one, grow your money safely without market risk. Once gains are locked in, they're guaranteed against future market loss. Two, double-digit potential upside on good market years with no losses in bad years. Principal is guaranteed. Three, a 7-8% fixed interest option is available in the first year. If you're interested in growing your money with potential index-related gains without downside market risk, this is the best time in over 40 years to consider an annuity. If your annuity is over 2 years old, the newer products likely have far superior potential returns. Please contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422 for more info. That's yourpersonalbank.com. Economic freedom is freedom, and our freedoms are under attack. I'm Ferentz, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. In this time of uncertainty, can you grow your money safely, reduce taxes, and ensure you don't run out of money in retirement? Your Personal Bank earns dividends with guarantees, insured, and tax-free. For more info, tune in to the Your Personal Bank Show or contact Ferentz at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ferentz Toth. Want more information? Contact Ferentz at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ferentz Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ferentz. If you want to reach me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. Yes, you can reach me. Again, it's yourpersonalbank.com. Before I get into more of my story, just as a quick reminder, this is the best time in over 40 years for fixed assets, high cash value insurance, annuities, guaranteed lifetime income. I'm also going to be speaking at a Master Your Money in a Day workshop with John Burley, January 18th in Phoenix. If you're interested in attending, go to yourpersonalbank.com. I think it'll be a very valuable and interesting educational experience. So I shared in the first segment my early life, mostly the effects with my dad, losing him while I was young unexpectedly. As I got into high school, I thought I was going to be a veterinarian. I grew up on a farm raising horses in Missouri, worked hard. We did a lot, but it was a good growing up experience. I learned the value of getting a job done, chores, taking care of animals. So I thought I wanted to be a veterinarian. I took all the science classes. I was going to be accepted for pre-vet, which is just like pre-med college. Had an experience with an animal with my grandfather that was not so positive, which changed my perspective completely. It was a very traumatic experience, and I realized that I didn't want to work with animals like that in the future. Here I was, a senior in high school. I'd taken all the science classes. I was going to go to pre-med, and now I didn't know what I wanted to do. And it's interesting when things happen, come along in your life where you're lost, yet you're searching for something. You don't know what the answer is. At a high school assembly, a group came in, the U.S. Army, the old guard, did a performance. I was a musician, as I stated earlier. I was all-state trombone player. And I was very impressed by their performance. And at the end, they stated they were looking for people to join. That was very interesting to me because, again, I was lost, not sure what to do, and I was graduating in a few months, literally. They said I needed to audition. I wasn't concerned about that, but also said I needed to join the Army. That was not something I was interested in at that time. I said I would think about it. And again, one of those events in your life that are life-changing, my mom convinced me at that time that go do the audition. You have nothing to lose and you can think about it. So I did. Of course, I passed the audition and I spent half the day talking with the guys in the unit and asking what it was really like. And they pointed out they traveled around the country. They were stationed in D.C. They got to do a lot of really cool events. And that for a young guy raised in the Midwest who had never really gone anywhere, traveling, that was very appealing. So I decided to join the Army. Plus, I did have a patriotic streak, as I stated earlier. I wanted to give back to my country. I wasn't sure how, but I really didn't want to go to basic training. No one does, I don't think. But again, I thought it was worth it. And I'm glad I did. I really, truly grew up and gained discipline and confidence that I didn't realize I even had through basic training in the Army. We were stationed in D.C., got to do a lot of really awesome things. We did ceremonial presentations at the White House, all the different locations, Arlington Cemetery. We traveled the country, going to places like the Indy 500, Kentucky Derby. So it was a fun duty, fun experience for a young guy right out of high school. Got to play my horn, play taps at military funerals. That was very somber and moving experiences oftentimes. Met a lot of famous people. And after doing that for about 3 years, I realized as much as I enjoyed it, I didn't feel like it was something I wanted to do as a career. I wanted to go to college and get a degree and get a job because I did enjoy my freedom. I didn't like the rigid structure of the military. It just wasn't for me. I did it honorably to the best of my ability, but I knew it wasn't something I wanted to do long term. And one of the things about my experience with the military, I remember this for a long time. People would ask me about my military experience. I wouldn't really wear it on my sleeve, so to speak. I wouldn't bring it up unless it was brought up by somebody else, typically. And then even if it was, I would often kind of joke, well, I wasn't in the real Army. I was spit and polish. We were at the White House. We were doing, you know, arrival ceremonies, visiting dignitaries, whatnot. And I remember this crusty old combat vet looked at me one day when I said that. He'd served several tours. And he looked at me, he says, "Don't you ever say that again." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Did you serve honorably?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Then you did your job. You should be proud of it." He said, "Not everybody can be on the front line with a rifle. The soldiers on the front line need the support of everyone behind them to do their job. And your job was to do the ceremonial stuff, which is inspirational and encourages a lot of people, recruiting of events and things like that we would do. We were one of the top recruiting units in the military." And he said, "Your job is just as vital as mine because the military needs recruits." He says, "So don't you ever say that again. You did your job. Be proud of it." I took that to heart, and I was proud of my service ever since. Because, again, I used to feel guilty sometimes when people would say, "Thank you for your service," because I didn't really feel like I'd, you know, served like a combat vet had. Don't know the gentleman's name, but I thank him for that. Maybe you'll see a common theme throughout my life and maybe yours if you reflect. There's certain points in time that somebody says something to you that strikes a chord and changes your thought or direction of your life, frankly. It's very interesting. So anyway, went to college, got a degree in agronomy, which is crop and soil science. Again, I grew up on a farm in Missouri State, Springfield, Missouri. Got a job with the USDA, Soil Conservation Service. Started doing surveys and reducing soil erosion. And I felt like I was doing something positive until something called the 95 Farm Bill was passed. And this gives you an idea of, you know, as a federal employee and the inefficiencies of it. And this goes back, like I said, to the 90s. So it's much worse now, where they just told us, forget going out in the field and working with the landowners and designing structures, waterways, ponds, things like that to reduce erosion. Just look at the topographic maps, have them come in, tell them what they need to do, sign off on it so they can get their money to do the projects. Because at that time, the government would pay 2/3, I believe, of the cost. The landowner would pay 1/3 of the cost if it was approved. And that was my job to give the approvals. Well, I wasn't happy about that because before I felt like I was doing something, I'd go on the land, look at it, problem solve, design something. Then I would eventually sign off on it. They get their money. I felt like I was working with the landowner to help reduce soil erosion. By just sitting at my desk and pushing paper, I didn't feel like I was accomplishing much. But they had certain goals and how many you had to projects you had to approve. They really didn't care about the results. This went on for a little while until this old farmer came to me and said, I've been farming my land for 50 years. My dad, as you put it, my pappy and his pappy before him, we've been farming this land for generations. And he called me a young whippersnapper fresh out of college, which was accurate at that time. He says, you fresh out of college, green, wet behind the ears, person is going to tell me how to manage my land and you've never even seen it. And I looked at him. I said, sir, you are absolutely correct. I signed off on his plan because he was thinking it's one thing. I was thinking another, yet he'd been on that land his whole life. I'd never even seen it. I signed off on, agreed to his plan, signed off on it, so you get the government money to do it. Went to my supervisor, gave my 2 weeks notice. I had 2 weeks vacation. It was my last day. I cleaned my desk and I left. That was my experience working as a federal employee. I was stifled. It was a soul-draining experience, for me at least. I can't imagine what it would be like for people today. And I think that maybe helped understand why I'm not a big fan of most federal employees. I was one for 6 months. I grant you that's not a lot of experience, but I saw waste and fraud even in my period of 3 years in the Army and my 6 months as a civil servant, a level of waste and fraud that I found shocking. And again, this is back in the 90s where I think things were probably a lot better than they are now. So if I rail on about waste and fraud, I've seen some of it, folks, firsthand. And I'm really thankful and excited about potentially seeing our government reduce in size and waste and fraud, because there's a ton of it. There just is. But maybe that helps you understand a little better where I'm coming from on that. So at this point, I have a college degree. I had been in the military for 3 years. I'd had a federal civil servant job that I walked away from. And I thought, what am I going to do? At this point, I either go back to college to get a master's degree or get into business. I felt like entrepreneurship at this point was probably my best direction. Now, understand, I'm still in my early 20s. So I go and research some of the schools that I would have received a master's in soil science. And then again, I asked a very important question. I remember asking one of the professors, well, what does a person with a master's in soil science do? That's a great question. I have a recent graduate. She has a job designing waste systems. I'll have, if you like, I can call her up and you can meet with her on the job, her job tomorrow and see what they do. I thought that'd be great. I went and met with her and came to realize that she was doing basically for a private company much of what I'd been doing for the government, granted more efficiently, but still. She never went out in the field. She never saw anything. She just sat in front of a computer screen with higher pay, but doing the same thing I just walked away from. So I thought to myself, why would I want to go to school for 2 more years to get paid more to do the same thing that I hated that I just walked away from? That was a momentous decision, and I decided being an entrepreneur was the key. I encourage you to stay tuned in the next segment, and I'll share with you how I got started in the business world.
Stay tuned for more Common Sense from Ferentz. For more information, contact Ferentz at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422.
I'm Ference Toth, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. I'm excited to announce a special event with John Burley, Saturday, January 18th in Phoenix, sponsored by Money Radio. John, what are you be sharing?
We're going to be covering from my book, Money Secrets of the Rich, the 7 levels of investors, so you can clearly identify where you're at and what you need to do to move forward with your money. We're also going to cover the 7 money steps of the rich, including the automatic money system. And then we're going to finish up with how to safely and securely make far more money than the stock market in real estate.
And I will share how to grow your money insured, guaranteed, tax-free, and highly liquid, and how to gain positive cash flow on your money. Your personal bank can enhance personal finances, business investments, and real estate investing.
So don't miss this unique opportunity to not only learn, but meet other successful investors.
Register at yourpersonalbank.com. Join us January 18th. Space is extremely limited. And tune in to the Your Personal Bank Show Tuesdays at noon.
When people contact me, they often ask, what exactly do you do? And yes, if you contact me, I, Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show, will respond, not an assistant. I help people increase their returns, reduce taxes, increase positive cash flow, and reduce market risk. I accomplish your goals using various financial tools, including Your Personal Bank. If you have questions or would like to discuss your situation, contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. You want to contact me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. Yes, you will reach me. It's yourpersonalbank.com. And as I've been sharing in a number of previous shows, this is the golden age of fixed assets, high cash value policies, growth annuities, and guaranteed lifetime income. The numbers are better than they've been in 42 years. If you're interested in any of that, strongly encourage you to contact me. But today, again, I'm doing something different. I'm sharing my story, which is something I don't think I've ever done before on the radio. So if you listen to the previous segments, I was discussing my military and college career, my first job, working for the federal government, which I hated, thought about a master's degree, realized that wasn't the right direction. So now I'm like, I want to be an entrepreneur in business. Read a lot of books. I read something that made some sense. You can either start a business or purchase an existing business. And one of the advantages of that is ongoing cash flow immediately. And if you search, you can find a business you're interested in. Oftentimes you can find an older business or owner who's looking to retire, and they will often carry much of the cost of purchasing the business in a note. So you can pay them back on the money you loan to purchase the business or much of it from the future proceeds of that business. Well, that made a lot of sense to me because I didn't have a lot of money. I'm in my early 20s, fresh out of college, 6 months or so working for the federal government, but didn't have a lot of experience yet. And I remember asking my uncle, who was the only person I knew at that time in my family who had been an entrepreneur, some advice about businesses and what type of business. And he recommended something I had some knowledge in. I had a degree, agriculture degree. By now, I decided to move to Phoenix because I got sick of the weather in the Midwest. Loved the weather in the Phoenix area. Of course, we were here in February, so it was beautiful. And he said, well, you know plants, right? I said, yes, of course. He says, what about a plant nursery? That made some sense to me. Again, it's interesting how various comments where somebody can make, when you look back on it, realize that was a life-changing statement or decision. So I literally, again, as a person who didn't want to live with regrets, I thought, well, how do I find a plant nursery for sale that the owner's looking to retire and might sell it to me and carry a good portion of the note? Because I had some money to work with as a down, but not a lot. And so what I did, and of course, this is in the early 90s at this point still, went to the Yellow Pages, and I just started calling plant nurseries around the Phoenix area and asked to speak to the owner and just straight up asked them if they were interested in selling. Now, when I share that sometimes with people, they're kind of shocked. They said, wow, that's pretty brazen. I said, well, what if I have to lose? They're going to say yes or no. Interestingly, I called around and I found a business. Those of you that are from Phoenix may remember Paradise Nursery in Glendale, Arizona. The business had been there for about 20 years. The owner was looking to retire from that business. We discussed it, came up with a fair price. But before I pulled the trigger, I wanted to make sure I understood the business and he wasn't hiding anything or cooking the books, if you know what I'm saying. That's very important. So he hired me on to work for 6 months. I was introduced as a management trainee, and I worked in various positions in the company, getting to learn the whole business and all the different parts, and came to realize it was a valid, viable business. He wasn't playing games with the numbers or anything like that, and ended up buying the company. So now here I am, 24 years old. I'm a business owner. Things went well for a while, and then the Gulf War hit. Now, this is the part of the story where I like to share with people that if somebody says to you they've never done anything wrong, made a mistake, that tells you they're either lying or they've never done anything. Well, gross sales dropped 40% overnight. I had borrowed pretty much everything I had to the max on this business. As long as it continued, I would have been fine, yet a 40% drop in business gross income was not something I was going to be able to weather for long. I'd also, prior to that, had gotten connected with the Small Business Administration. They have a program where they offer for young entrepreneurs to be connected with an entrepreneur in their field who's experienced, typically retired, who's giving back. You pay him a small fee, but it was very small. And they would be your consultant for a year. And if you decided you want to keep them on after that, you could pay them. Well, I did that. And I learned, this is where I learned the value of mentors. I had this guy as a mentor who was a retired retail business owner who taught me a lot of things over those couple of years. And one of the statements he made to me, ultimately the business did fail. We worked out a deal to give the business back to the original owner. It was a very devastating experience for me. I felt like a failure. The business did not succeed through this. Yet one of the statements this mentor said to me, which was somewhat helpful, he says, Ference, you had three strikes against you. You could have survived two of the three, but not all three. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, you're still inexperienced. You don't have much capital, and the economy turned on you. He says, you could have survived any two of the three, but not all three. He says, the good news is in the last 2 years, you now have your master's degree in business administration through the School of Hard Knocks. And he said, that's a far more valuable experience than if you'd gone to school for a couple of years. He says, you're young. You have plenty of time to make up the difference. And most importantly, though, he said, you won't make the same mistakes again. Well, at the time, it didn't make me feel a whole lot better, but it turns out he was right. It was one of the most valuable experiences from a business standpoint I had, where I learned the thing, what you need to do to be successful in a business and what to avoid. Now, understand, I've had a business failure. My credit's been shot. I don't have any money to speak of. What do you do? I had a degree in agriculture, and I live in a major city of Phoenix. I found a job, of all things, in sales. I had no idea I was any good at that. It was just the only position that I could find because I didn't have really the experience or the degree for other jobs that I was looking for. Well, it turns out very quickly that the experience I'd had as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, most people are anyway, you have to be good at selling your product or service as a business owner, you're not going to succeed as a business. That's just a fact. You have to believe in what you're doing. You have to communicate that effectively. And I quickly found out I had that ability. And I quickly rose up the ranks. I tried a couple of different sales jobs, but the one I landed upon was retirement planning, annuities primarily, IRAs, that type of thing. And within the year, I became the top salesman in the company. And one of the top salespeople, in fact, I found out I was in top 10 in the country, unbeknownst to me. And what was interesting is literally in my first year in the business, I qualify for a trip. I'm in Europe, and the company had brought their top roughly 100 producers in the country. I'm by far the youngest guy in the room. I'm in my 20s still. Everybody in the room was at least in their 50s or 60s or older. And when I would first meet some of the other producers, most of them thought I was the son or whatever of one of the other qualifiers. And when they found out I actually qualified myself, they were in shock. So many of them said to me, how in the world did you get here? It took me 10 years, 15 years, 20, whatever, to build up enough business to qualify for something like this. And at the time, I really didn't know. I didn't really have an answer other than I just didn't know any better that you weren't supposed to
do really well, and it took a long time to build up in the financial services business, I just went to work and I just started talking to people and sharing the products and how it could benefit them and improve their financial situation. And I would listen to what they wanted or needed or what their goals were and try to find the best solution for them. When I was first training, I remember I was told things like, well, tell people you don't make any money. You're doing this out of goodness of your heart, which of course was not accurate. We got paid commissions for those products. And I said, well, why? I raised my hand in the training. I said, why would I say that? Because it's a lie. And I was like, well, that was the training. I said, well, I'm not going to do that. And they said to me, well, you won't succeed. Don't tell me I'm not going to be able to do something. I get a little stubborn that way, if you know what I'm saying. I just told people the truth. I told them how I got paid, why it would benefit them. They would win. The company would win. I would win. I like win-wins. As I stated, within the year, I was a top producer in the company. Suddenly, everybody wanted to know what I was doing, and they made me the trainer. I changed the culture of an entire company that way, which was kind of exciting. One other thing in my early financial career, now understand, this is in the late 1990s. There was no such thing really as compliance or anything like that in the financial world. You'd call it the wild, wild west. And there was a lot of people I saw situations that, frankly, people were getting taken advantage of. This bothered me. I went to my pastor. Again, this is one of those life-defining moments. And I said to him, I'd been in the business for almost a year. I said, I was struggling with, should I continue to be in this business? And he asked why. And I said to him, well, I see a lot of people getting taken advantage of. He says, well, are you doing that? I said, of course not. I'm doing the best I know how to do. He said, good. His response to me was life-changing. He said, you have a choice. You could obviously quit and go somewhere, do something else. Or maybe God wants you to be there because the light shines brightest when it's darkest. That struck me. And I decided I was just going to do the best I knew how to do, tell people the truth, the good and the bad, explain to them why I felt like this was the best option. There's no perfect option, but that then they could make the best decision for themselves. And that's how I've operated now for, well, 25 years. It served me well. I'm going to encourage you to stay tuned. In the last segment, I'll share more of how I got introduced to the Your Personal Bank concept and what we're doing today.
Stay tuned for more Common Sense from Ferentz. For more information, contact Ferentz at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422.
This is Ferentz, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. My show focuses on creating tax-free buckets of money, insured, guaranteed, highly liquid, and the ability to create positive arbitrage. Did you know this is the best time in over 40 years to invest in index annuities? An index annuity allows you to, one, grow your money safely without market risk. Once gains are locked in, they're guaranteed against future market loss. Two, double-digit potential upside on good market years with no losses in bad years. Principal is guaranteed. Three, a 7-8% fixed interest option is available in the first year. If you're interested in growing your money with potential index-related gains without downside market risk, this is the best time in over 40 years to consider an annuity. If your annuity is over 2 years old, the newer products likely have far superior potential returns. Please contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422 for more info. That's yourpersonalbank.com. Would you like to sponsor the Your Personal Bank Show hosted by Ferentz Toth? We are looking for like-minded partners who want to join our rapidly growing radio show. I frequently state, economic freedom is freedom. Thomas Jefferson wrote, a well-informed electorate is a prerequisite to democracy. Contact me at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com to help increase financial literacy and protect our freedoms.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ferentz Toth. Want more information? Contact Ferentz at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ferentz Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ferentz. If you want to reach me, you can do so at yourpersonalbank.com. Yes, you'll reach me. This is the best time in over 42 years for high cash value life policies, dividends, growth annuities, and guaranteed lifetime income. So if you're interested, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. As I've stated earlier,
doing something different that I've never done before, sharing my story. Maybe people understand a little better why, where I come from, why I think the way I do. And my producers always say, share more of your personal story. People like that. I'm not the best at doing that. And if you were listening before, you know, I was telling the story of how I got into the financial services business, the early years, some of the struggles I had. I found the business fairly easy. Talking to people is something I've always enjoyed. I genuinely enjoy getting to know people, regardless if we do business or not. I found most people to be interesting, interesting life stories. And if you can get them to talk about themselves, I generally learn something. One of the early things I learned in my early career, I would ask when I met with somebody, of course, I'm much younger than most of my clients at that time. I was in my late 20s. And I would meet a retired couple. I did a lot of retirement planning, annuities, IRAs, all that type of stuff. And if they had done well, I would ask them, I said, I genuinely like to know, what did you do to get where you're at? And I found some very common threads. One of the most common was they just didn't take on a lot of debt unless it was strategic, like borrowing to purchase a rental property that would be cash flow, but they didn't take on consumer debt. I also found that the majority made their money through entrepreneurship. That was by far the largest percentage. There was a smaller percentage that did through the stock market or retirement accounts. But the vast majority of the people I met with, it was some form of entrepreneurship where they'd had built or bought a successful business, which I'd had experience with business before, as I stated earlier, owning a retail plant nursery. So I had the desire to get into business for myself again. Yet I was in a good situation where I was at until the owner of the company I worked for was unexpectedly killed in an airplane crash. I'd worked for this company for about 6 years. I was their top producer. I did make an effort to purchase that company that did not work out. So I decided at that point I was going to start my own company, which I did over 20 years ago now. And although there have been challenges, ups and downs like any business has, overall, it's been a successful endeavor. Whether I was working with clients directly or training other agents, I tried to instill in them a few key things. One, listen to people. Really listen to what they want, what their goals are, what they are trying to accomplish, what their concerns are. And then instead of trying to offer the same thing for everyone, really try to provide the best solution that'll fit what they want to accomplish. And you may have heard the term in sales, sell the sizzle, not the steak. I taught my agents the opposite. I said, yes, you can share the benefits of why you're recommending a certain product, but also share the limitations. Because nothing is perfect. People understand that. Yet if you treat people like adults and you give them the strengths and weaknesses of a certain product, for example, but you also help them understand why you think this is the best solution for them, then they'll be able to make the best decision for themselves. And that's my prayer. Before nearly every appointment I go into, I literally say a quiet, silent prayer that I ask God to give me the wisdom to share with the people I'm getting ready to meet, to share with them the best solution that will fit their situation, regardless if they do business with me or not. That's my prayer. It served me well. Obviously, being on the radio, lots of referral clients. All my business for the last probably 15 years has literally been referrals from existing clients or folks from when I was speaking or now the radio, which after starting the business, we started developing a good clientele of folks. And one of those people encouraged me to come up and speak to her investor group, which I did reluctantly at first, to be fair, but she eventually convinced me to do so. It went over so well. Flew up to Seattle, met a bunch of investors. Many of those people are clients of mine today. That was 8 or 9 years ago, in fact. Gone back to Seattle many times. That led to other speaking engagements where I was then finding myself just about every weekend in some city speaking to a group of investors about your personal bank concept, growing your money insured, guaranteed, tax-free, highly liquid, how to create positive arbitrage, how to maximize returns on your money, how to minimize market risk, all those things that I do today. That went very, very well, kept growing. In fact, I had to even pull back from that some and get more picky where I went and spoke, because it was getting to the point where I was never home and I had young children at home. I had a family. So I started getting more particular about my speaking engagements, was finding a nice balance when I was approached about doing a radio show. Well, actually, I was approached about doing a radio interview from one of my workshop attendees. They got an interview with me on Money Radio in Phoenix. The interview went so well, the station owner and manager asked if I would be interested in hosting my own radio show. At first, I was hesitant because I didn't know if I would be able to find the time to do it, frankly, but decided it was a great opportunity. My wife encouraged me that it's a great opportunity with a new audience. So I took it, started the show. It took off quite rapidly well, started doing very well. After a year or two, COVID hit. All of a sudden, the speaking engagements disappear. Now I just have the radio and existing clients. At first, it was a little stressful. Obviously, it's changing how you do business significantly. Yet the radio is what replaced the speaking. And in fact, other stations hearing the show started reaching out to me. They say, we love your content. It's unique. Would you consider being on our station? And now it's spread across the country to where we're on over 20 stations coast to coast and continues to do so. I was also asked somewhere along the way to be on the board of a bank in Scottsdale, Arizona. Spent a couple of years. They eventually voted me to be the chairman of the board. We were attempting to open a new bank. Unfortunately, this was just during the Biden administration, the regulations, the red tape. The economic situation made it extremely difficult to start a bank. And we decided it was probably not the best time to do so. And I stepped away from that project. Of course, a couple of years later, or a year or so later, when the Fed started really raising the interest rates dramatically, that put smaller banks in a real bind, community banks. So I'm really thankful that we decided to not complete that project. I learned a ton about banking. It was a very good learning experience. I'm glad I did it. Again, and one of those things I don't regret. Yes, the process didn't work out. We didn't get to actually get the bank up and running and going, but I learned so much from that experience about banking and how it works. As I say to people today, a lot of what I teach today is how institutional investors, banks, etc., operate. You can like them or hate them. I don't care, but we agree they're savvy about money and we can learn from them. So I have that experience that I can bring to people. I'm going to finish up with this thought. Is again, I enjoy meeting people, working with them, finding out what they want to accomplish, or goals or concerns, finding the best fit for them. I really enjoy problem solving. Many of my clients, I'll tell you, I've worked with them for years and years, sometimes even decades. And sometimes we won't talk for quite a while, and sometimes we'll discuss quite frequently different ideas, thoughts, when they have a major financial decision to make with their personal situation or their business or whatever may be, when to retire, how to retire, all those kinds of things. I always state, look, I don't know when a major financial decision is going to come up in your life, but when it does, contact me. We'll discuss it. We'll chat, and I'll bring some options to the table. And if there's something that's working, I'm going to be the first person to tell you to keep doing it. As long as that's what you want to do. I'm not going to tell you to stop doing something that's working. I'm going to encourage you to do more of it. And oftentimes, a lot of people get a common mistake where they think, well, if I invest in, this is a very common mistake I see is, well, I can invest in this or invest in that. Well, the personal bank allows you to do both. You can put the money in the personal bank, access against it, and then go invest in another asset or build your business or whatever and still receive some return on your money, the difference of the dividends minus the cost of borrowing. You keep the difference. It's called positive arbitrage, which again is how banks operate. It's just a smarter and more efficient way to operate with your money. And that's why I do the show, to educate people, to help them understand there is a better way. You don't just have to put your money somewhere and kind of hope it works out. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I hope you've enjoyed me sharing a little bit about my life. my experience of where I came from, what I've done, some of the ups and downs, what I learned from it. And as my wife often says, you learn to make lemonade from lemons, right? So the experiences that I've had have helped me become better at what I do and better at helping people get to where they want to go, because there's not many situations I haven't run across now in the last 25 years, or with my own entrepreneur experience owning several companies. Being a federal employee, I understand what that's like. Working for a major corporation, I've done that too. I know what that's like. See, most people don't have all those kinds of experiences, and most advisors, no offense to them, but because I made that decision early in life with my dad tragically losing his life when I was young, I decided I was going to learn as much as I could and do as much as I could and not have any regrets. It's allowed me to become a much more knowledgeable, well-rounded person and to be able to give better advice for many, many people, many of them clients of mine, so that they can be a better position financially in their lives. And I guess that's where my passion is. As my wife always, last thing I'll say is my wife always says, I can tell you when you've had a great day, because you met somebody and they got it. It clicked. I may or may not have necessarily sold a product that day. Yes, I do that to make a living, of course. But what really my passion is at is I help somebody educate them and the light comes on financial literacy wise or improve their financial situation. That's what I love to do. Again, I'm going to encourage you to have a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. Stay tuned to the Your Personal Bank Show next week. I'm going to discuss some goal setting. I've been sharing annually now for over 20 years. That was life-changing for me and many of my clients and agents that I've worked with over the years. And as long as it's on our money, in God we trust.
Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. This show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information. The presenter and guests of this program do not engage in legal, accounting, or tax advice. Professional advice regarding your situation should be sought if required. Some products discussed may have limitations and not be available in all states. Excessive unpaid loans may affect performance.
I'm Ference Toth, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. I'm excited to announce a special event with John Burley, Saturday, January 18th in Phoenix, sponsored by Money Radio. John, what are you be sharing?
We're going to be covering from my book, Money Secrets of the Rich, the 7 levels of investors, so you can clearly identify where you're at and what you need to do to move forward with your money. We're also going to cover the 7 money steps to the rich, including the automatic money system. And then we're going to finish up with how to safely and securely make far more money than the stock market in real estate.
And I will share how to grow your money insured, guaranteed, tax-free, and highly liquid, and how to gain positive cash flow on your money. Your personal bank can enhance personal finances, business investments, and real estate investing.
So don't miss this unique opportunity to not only learn, but meet other successful investors.
Register at yourpersonalbank.com. Join us January 18th. Space is extremely limited. And tune in to the Your Personal Bank Show Tuesdays at noon.
This is Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. My show focuses on creating tax-free buckets of money, insured, guaranteed, highly liquid, and the ability to create positive arbitrage. Did you know this is the best time in over 40 years to invest in index annuities? An index annuity allows you to, one, grow your money safely without market risk. Once gains are locked in, they're guaranteed against future market loss. Two, double-digit potential upside on good market years with no losses in bad years. Principal is guaranteed. Three, a 7-8% fixed interest option is available in the first year. If you're interested in growing your money with potential index-related gains without downside market risk, this is the best time in over 40 years to consider an annuity. If your annuity is over 2 years old, the newer products likely have far superior potential returns. Please contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422 for more info. That's yourpersonalbank.com.
A gentle breeze blows across your face as you take a refreshing sip of water, appreciating the stillness of another morning fishing on the lake. The distant gurgle of a stream reminds you of days spent playing in the creek, the cool, clear water rushing between your toes. You love this time with nature, the feeling of putting everything on hold to to connect with the world around you. Now, imagine it's all gone. No fish, no lake, no water. One of life's most vital resources, irreplaceably depleted. Time is running out to protect fresh water, and without our love, it can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our fresh water. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
Standing at the edge of a rocky shore, you breathe in the cool, salty air, watching the sun disappear on the horizon. Across the globe, someone begins their day along a sandy beach, listening to the rhythm of the crashing waves. You each envision a world beneath the water, vibrant life in every imaginable form. Now, imagine it's all gone. What was once a place of wonder and beauty is now a dull, lifeless wasteland. Food, jobs, medicine, all gifts from the ocean, all gone. Time is running out to protect our oceans. And without our love, everything the oceans provide can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our oceans. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.